Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we get to continue in the book of 1 Corinthians as we're getting near the end, the second to last message in this book, Lord. Father, it's been challenging at times. It's been good to go through your word through the book of the Bible, Lord, the Bible. And we just ask, as we prepare today, that you would speak to us once again through your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the truth that sets us free, for the truth that gives us purpose and meaning. So, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would lead. Father, I just ask that you would remove me, get me out of the way. And, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you, God, would speak to us clearly, that we would be able to hear it, that we would be able to put aside the distractions and focus on you, Lord. Father, we're grateful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So guys, I want to start out by saying I'm impressed that you're not watching the football game, you know, and it one of the things that's a challenge in life is what do you value? What do you value? And there's a lot of things that we value, and there's a lot of good things that are out there that we value, but what do you value most? What's most important to you? And as we ask that question, we're going to be looking at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through the end of the chapter. And so let's just jump on in here. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, as he has determined. And to each kind of a seed, he gives his own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And stars differ from star in splendor. As what is this talking about? How are the dead raised? You know, it's interesting. I've got in my pocket here, if I can get it. What we've got here is a seed. It's pretty small. Who would think that a seed, if you'd never seen it before, who would think if you planted in the ground that a tree would be produced and fruit that you eat would come from that one tiny little seed? That's an apple seed. And to say, boy, how did this tree get here? You've never seen it. And you see the tree, you see the fruit, you're eating the fruit. This is fantastic. How did this come to be? Well, here's a little seed. Corinthians in the church in Corinth to Paul. And Paul is answering the question, how are the dead raised? Because a lot of them who had started to believe the gospel, they had started to question the resurrection. And there was a teaching that was going on that was excluding the resurrection. And so Paul, very frankly, that's why he spent so much time dealing with the validity of the resurrection and how important it is and how the heart of the gospel rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only his resurrection, but one day we will be raised and be with him. Guys, to question that, I think it's interesting that Paul starts by saying, how foolish. How foolish. You know, one of the things that we question is we question what we don't understand. And just like somebody who had never seen a tree or a seed before, man, to how can something so incredible, the tree and the fruit, come from that? Well, how can the resurrection, how can our bodies be changed? How can we live forever? And I titled the message today, Want to Live Forever. And some may be thinking, shouldn't you have said, do you want to live forever? But remember the song? There was that old TV show of the guy who was living forever. And there's the song, Want to Live Forever. And it's that whole idea. I mean, look at the quest that we have for eternal life apart from God. How much money is spent in the world today to stay young? You've got things that you can buy and put around your waist and they jiggle and go and they don't work. I'm a little embarrassed to say I know. And, you know, right now I'm working out some. I'm eating better. I'm trying to get healthy. And some things aren't changing on me. And before, you know, something's happened to my body as I've gone into my 40s and preparing for my 50s. Something's changing. And it's starting to go a little lower. And you know, and we have this hunger in our culture that says, boy, to stay young, to stay youthful. And we so desire all of that. Do you really want to live forever? Do you want to? Do you want to live in without the junk? Imagine forever without the sagging, without the pain, without the suffering, without the tears, without the fear, without the anger, without the brokenness. You see, that's what the resurrection represents and means and points us towards, is a great hope that we have. And so he gives us examples of many different, Paul gives us many different examples here of the seed and the creation and all these different things which are pointing to the validity of the resurrection. Verse 42, it says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Guys, I'm glad to say that my skin suit here, it's temporary. It's temporary. But my soul, and who I am in Christ. And what will that look like? There's a lot of different ideas there. I could spend 2 hours giving you all the information and all the ideas of what that will look like. Truth is, I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't know what heaven will be like. I don't know what my spiritual body will be like. I don't know. I've got some ideas, but I don't know. But I do know I'll be without all the junk. And my spiritual body is continuing on. And I love what it says here. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. And here it is. It is sown in weakness. You know, it's interesting. We have a whole mindset that is, I am not weak. We have a whole world around us that is trying to prove their strength. We've got wars happening because people are flexing on a country-sized scale. And they're saying, we get to do what we want. There's a whole idea of my power is greater than my strength is greater than your strength. And yet, in reality, when we compare ourselves with God, the creator of us and all, our power is nothing. Our strength is nothing. You know, yesterday, we had a great morning with the men's breakfast. It was phenomenal. It was the last time that James Noriega has officially meeting with us and going through the series that he's been going through. It was beautiful, and we were reminded that it's God loves us. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? God loves you. Everything that you do, everything of who you are, comes from who God is. And here it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. God's glory, we get to become like Christ in the resurrection. In heaven, we get to be like Christ. Let's think about that for a moment. The perfection of Christ, the power, the glory that we get to share in that. Where are you at right now? Are you feeling invincible? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Because those are both extremes that are not in truth. In this flesh, you're not invincible. Any big truck will let you know that. You know, it's amazing to me. I've been at the hospital quite a bit in the last couple weeks, and we are frail. We are, these packages, these skin suits that we have, they need to go to the cleaners and get fixed up. And even then, it's just a matter of time before they're done. And anytime you spend time in the hospital, at least for me, when I go, it's not just the people or the person that I'm visiting and the family, but as you're going in and as you're going out, you see other people. And sometimes you have conversations and you just share in what people are going through. This last time that I went, I was looking and because I was trying to find some things, I was asking questions. It was great because the more questions I asked, the more conversations I had with more people. And as I was sharing with different people, not even the ones that I'd gone to visit, brokenness. What are we going to do? This is our matriarch. This is the one who keeps us together. My encouragement was Christ, his power and his strength is much stronger than any of ours. And if you turn to him during this time, he's going to do things that are going to blow you away. Verse 44, it is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. I love the way he ends it. If there is a natural body, and do we know the answer to that question? Guess what? There's a spiritual body. It's how hard do we have to work to think that there's not a God? Seriously. I mean, we have so much evidence. Do you know what the inside of a cell looks like? It's a warehouse of machines. And not only that, the machines look like the machines we use inside of a cell. Too small, way too small for the eye to see. And as our technology has changed, what we've been able to look at, and as Darwin has said, if there's any structure to the cell, then my theory is in real trouble. He thought it was just some goop. The structure of the cell is amazing. It's amazing. A gigantic warehouse of machines that all work together. And each one has to be working exactly right for everything in here to be going okay. Trillions, gazillions, and billions, and you add those and multiply those, and that's, you're starting to get into the beginning of the information that's processing. If we came across a computer, would you think, oh my goodness, look how the wind and the waves moved and created this plastic machine. Not only that, if I go on it, there's some intelligence to it. Wow, I wonder how many billions of years have existed so that this, wow. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe in an old earth or a new earth. What matters is, did God create? Did God create? Is all this from something, God? Or is it all from nothing and by chance? We know that the physical exists. And to think that it's by chance, statistically, is moronic. It really is. Statistically, it is impossible for a cell to exist, let alone what we have. We need to use our heads. We need to be intelligent. We need to think logically. God gave us reason, and he's given us an example after example after example. And he even has examples in the example of the resurrection. Verse 45, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after the spirit, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as it is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I love how it starts out. There's the first Adam, and notice it doesn't say the second Adam, because that would imply a third, a fourth, a fifth. It says the first Adam and what? The last. The first Adam's Adam, man. The last is what? Jesus. Jesus. There's no more. There's no other thing that's going to be even greater, even better. There's not, Jesus was the first and now that. Now, will Christ come again? Absolutely. But it's the same Jesus. It's the same one. The first Adam, we deal with a death, a dead soul. See, there's something different between the animals and man. We're created in God's image. We're created in the image of God. There's a soul. And when that soul was with Adam, boy, I tell you, with sin came the death of the soul, which also the physical death. There was spiritual life Adam had this right relationship with God. And with sin came death. Physically, yeah. And a spiritual separation, spiritual death. And life came through Jesus Christ. Guys, if you don't know Jesus, the things of God seem strange and foreign and distant. They did to all of us. I remember when I was 15 and all those years I'd gone to Lakeside Bible Camp, all those years I'd heard the gospel, and I put up with the chapel time so that I could have the fun time at camp. I went to church because my mom didn't buy that I was sick that Sunday, like I was miraculously sick every Sunday. I can't tell you how many Sundays I've been sick in my youth. You guys ever seen the movie Ferris Bueller? That was my childhood. You get the light, you put the wet wash rag by the light, right before mom comes in, you pat your face with the... Kids, do not try this if there's any that didn't go downstairs. Pat the face with a warm washcloth right before she comes in, and then you stuff it under the pillow, and you make these kind of sounds. Oh. 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 Man, oh, some of you parents may have experienced that this morning. Oh, I don't feel so good. I'm saying this, actually, wait a second. My daughter is sick today. Wait a second. Is she really sick? There's an investigation going to take place. Yeah, we're checking for hot lights and wet towels. And then came Jesus into my life, the truth, and everything changed. And you couldn't keep me out of church. What happened? And then it happened so that basketball, which had been my life, became a side issue. And now it became Jesus. And then my future business plans changed because God had a specific calling for me. And I didn't get to do what I wanted to do anymore. I got to do something better. I got to see the amazing work of Christ over and over as part of my job. That's a great job description, by the way. Go see God work and don't get in the way. It's a great job description. Guys, that's what I get paid to do. I'm blessed. God called us to the mission field. God called us 6 years in Uganda. We got to see God just move, be completely outside of our comfort zone. Why? Because Christ is real. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. He's coming back. It's not a story. It's truth. It's truth. The dead soul is dead because of sin. But because of the last Adam, Christ, life is offered. Do you want to live forever? Do you want to live in perfection without the junk forever? It's offered to us. Let me ask you this. Which Adam are you with? Which Adam do you associate with? Are you with the dead or the live? The living God. For the stuff that's temporary. Guys, on this note, I just want to say one thing. If this is true, how joyful should we be? How passionate in life should we be? How should this change what we do? If it's really real, then it needs to change our lives. Which Adam are you associating with? Verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must close itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Immortality, to live forever, the assurance of victory. Do you guys know where you're going? Do you know what's important? Do you know the one who gives life? Paul tells them a secret here, a mystery, something that previously in human history has not been known, but has been revealed to God's servant. Not all people will sleep in death. You know, and it's interesting because he's also saying, if you're alive when Christ comes back, guess what? You're not going in there. The dead will be raised. We'll join them and we're going to be with God. We're going to heaven to be with our Lord and Savior. Not all God's people will sleep in death, but it is absolutely certain that all of God's people will be transformed. Christ's coming will occur, and in an instant at the end, it talks about in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9, in the end, the herald of trumpets will call out. We've got an Old Testament reference, and this sound will go, and the dead will be raised, and God's people will be transformed. But I've also got good news. Not all transformation do we have to wait until death. Guys, the kingdom of God is coming, and the kingdom of God, in part, is here. Which kingdom are you in? Your own kingdom or God's? Do you want the assurance of victory? Do you want, something that Wayne and Carol, who come here, Wayne's in the hospital, and as he shared a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and he was just talking about the cancer that he has and how he'd found out about it. It was encouraging to hear a man talk about it. He had just found out about it recently, and he was okay. He was okay. Why was he okay? I want to read why. Verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true from Isaiah and Hosea. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we don't have to fear death. Let me ask you this. Do you live in fear? What would it be like if the idea of death was not fear, but what? To go be with Jesus. And the idea of life here was, I get to serve Jesus now in all he's called me to do. And so now, as I'm serving him and as the challenges of life come, there's no sting of the sin and the junk that comes with death and fear and the enemy. Now, when the challenges come, I see instead the hand of God leading me through it, because he said he will never leave me or forsake me. And so now, as I approach the challenges of life, I'm not living in discouragement and fear and being undone by every little thing. The other day, I'd been living with over a year a phone that had fallen and gotten cracked. And I dropped it a few more times, and it got worse and worse. And you know that commercial where the guy's got things on his fingers because they're all cut up from using his phone? That was my life. And so finally, I found a place that fixed. First of all, I looked forever. Everything was so expensive, but I found a guy who would do it for not nearly as much. And I went and I got my phone fixed. It was like new. I was so excited. I would just walk in the house. Did you see my phone? I can see what's on the phone. And then I was getting in the car the other day, and I was putting some things in, and I had some things in my hands. I dropped it a foot and a half, and guess what? And you know what my response was? Are you kidding me? I just got this fixed. And I got in the car, and Julie was beside me, and I was just like, I'm really upset right now. I mean, I'm really upset right now. I have, I spent so much time trying to get that phone fixed. And I'm just in the car, oh, how I suffer. Oh, man. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden, it's like the hand of God says, really? And we're created in the image of God, and God has a great sense of humor. And sometimes he just uses that humor in great ways. And I just hear this, not audibly, but I hear in my spirit, really? It's that bad, huh? Really? Been on a cross lately? Really? Oh, but you know what? Small things can become huge, can't they? And if small things can become huge, how big can big things become? We can be taken out emotionally by a phone that gets cracked? Really? Man. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, when I live according to the lie, the things of this world matter more than the things of God. When I believe the lie that life is about Matthew, Ryan, Naley, Sharak, the first, I'm miserable.
When I make it all about how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what I'm experiencing, I'm a mess. Whether it's for a minute or a week, if my eyes are on me, I'm missing it. I'm missing the blessing. I'm missing the truth that I'm a new creation in Christ. Not only that, it's not just God out there. It's God in here. And not only that, but that relationship is as a son to a father, as a son or daughter to your heavenly Father. And this Father is not broken. This Father is loving, kind, gentle, long-suffering. And so not only am I relationship with God, but it's an intimate, real relationship with God. And therefore, you know what? Whatever comes at me, even to the point of death, has no victory over me in Christ. Now, if I live according to me and my flesh, I'll be undone by the smallest of things, a little cracked glass. But if I live according to the Spirit of God, the truth of who I am in Christ, the biggest things in life, the things like our brother Wayne is going through, life and death situations, taking out part of him that has cancer in it. What an encouragement it was to hear, I'm okay. God's good. He's got me on this. Right after he'd found out, God's moving. God changes us from the inside out. And then it ends with this. Therefore, my dear brothers, this is an encouragement. Stand firm. I love that. What does standing firm look like visually? You know, you think of, you're in the ready position, right? You're standing from, you're ready for what's coming. But here's the thing. You can't be ready for what's coming in life. None of us can. So standing firm doesn't mean, okay, guys, buckle down and get ready for the battle, and it's all up to you. Okay, superhero Larry, are you ready? You got your cape on today? You ready to go against the powers of evil? Yeah? Superhero Will, are you ready? You got your little mask on so nobody sees the real identity? It's not stand firm here. It's stand in Christ, in the gospel, in his truth, in who you are in him, in his power and his strength. Because anything we face apart from God, we're in trouble, guys. We're in trouble. Let nothing move you. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I love where it ends here. Always give yourself what? Fully to the labor of the Lord. You know, God's preparing in advance good works for us to do. It's his work. It's not our work. One of the things we were going over yesterday at the men's breakfast was, as we reach out in mission and in faith, are we just doing stuff to be nice? What does it mean to reach out with a mission? What does it mean to reach out with the love of God? And you know, a big part of it is less about what we do and a lot more about loving God in the presence of others and being in awe of him. I'll never forget. I can't remember if I've shared this a long time ago or not, but I'll never forget if there, when we were in Uganda, the mangoes were like this. They weren't, you know, you go to the store today and you buy these little, those aren't mangoes. Those are a far cry from what a mango was meant to be. You go to Uganda, man. First of all, they're in the tree right outside. And they keep going. And not only that, it's a small seed and this meat of the best fruit you've ever had. Oh, my goodness. And you bite into one of those and it's just like, oh, yeah. And it's messy because it's complete. You cannot eat a mango and not get covered in juice. And here's the full truth on that. Maybe if you cut it up and you eat like this, that's not eating a mango. You peel it, you're out there outside, and juices flow. That's God. When you're so undone and, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And when you're enjoying God, guess what's happening? You're witnessing his love. When you're being here and undone and, oh man, when you're enjoying and loving God back, that is the witness. And when your life has been transformed by loving God and experiencing God's love first, that's what speaks to the heart of others. I've never, ever, ever won a debate and somebody came to Jesus. Never. I've never out-thought the opponent into the kingdom. Have I given reason? Absolutely. Have I used logic? Definitely. But it's the truth in love. It's the truth in love, guys. We don't bring the gospel and get annoyed when they respond the same way we did before we came to know him. Love God. Love him back. Enjoy him. Take your greatest pleasure. Some people right now are watching the game. And guess what's happening? If the Seahawks are winning, don't tell me right now yet. I've got to decide, do I want to hear it or do I want to watch it? But some people, just so you know, some people are TiVoing it or whatever you call it, taping the game. Don't, if you know the score, don't come up with it afterwards. Some people right now, they're right there in front of the screen right now. And they're either, Seahawks are back, baby. Last week was an accident. We're back. Or they're like, oh my goodness, what kind of year are we going to have? A second loss in a row. We're not used to that. We don't lose two in a row. We're the world champions after all.
Guys, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Will you give up your love for football? It hasn't happened to me. I still enjoy watching the game. Will the things of this world take no meaning? No. But they'll be in their proper place. And enjoying God will become what affects all areas of our life. Loving God back being what motivates our witness to others. And now we'll start speaking in a way that is showing what's from our hearts, not what we think we should say or do. Because we're here. Oh my goodness. God of all creation knows me. Not only that, he accepts me as I am. I don't have to jump through these hoops. I don't have to get cleaned up first. I don't have to do the work apart from Christ to come to Jesus. Because I can't do that work. I was a dead man. But by faith, through grace, by the work of Christ on the cross, now I have life. And one day, guys, one day all of us, apart from the coming of Christ again to take us home, if that doesn't happen in our lifetime, all of us will face the grave. But do you want to live forever in right relationship with God? This is not a life insurance message. Say a little prayer and you're good to go. This is death to life. This is a life transformation. God, I'm tired of messing up my own life. I give you my life. I choose to follow you. You're in control. I give up control of my life. You're in charge, and I choose you. I choose you, my Lord and Savior. Thank you that you forgive me of my sin. I choose you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're moved by who you are. Lord, we should be so much more moved. Forgive us for our vanity. Forgive us for our love of self, our self-righteousness. Forgive us for thinking that it's about knowing intellectually more and achieving more intellectually, or something I do, something I work for, being better, pulling myself up by my bootstraps. But Father, forgive us for trying to carry the weight that we cannot carry. Lord, thank you that you carried the cross, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that your resurrection is a picture to us, too, of what's going to happen with us in you, that we get to be with you, that we will live forever in faith with you. Father, we pray for those who don't know you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for any feelings of superiority, any feelings of frustration and anger. Lord, we pray that we would have love for them. Lord, we pray that we would be able to love them in your love and your strength. And Father, for us who know you, Father, forgive us for living in a way as though you were dead. Forgive us for trying to do things in our own strength. Forgive us for turning to ourselves rather than you. Father, thank you so much that you do forgive us, that nothing separates us from your love. Father, speak to us, not just on Sunday mornings, but all week long. And Lord, we pray that our... Father, I just think of that. That our response to your word would be like a young boy who's gotten a love letter from a girlfriend, or the young man who's gotten the letter from his fiance. He can't wait to devour it and reread it and reread it. Lord, may that be like how we approach your word, passionate, excited, because it's the living word of God that gives real life, abundant life in a broken world. So, Father, just thank you. We give this week, this day to you. We choose you today.
We choose to live for you today. We choose to love you back. Bless us and make us a great blessing to many, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.